Let me see. We had an itinerary.
I'm looking at it.
To talk about.
Oh, boy. Okay. I mean, first on the list is the Art Basel catch-up, or recap, which at this point I feel like I've given about a dozen times, so well-rehearsed. Every time I'm talking about it, some different colors. I would really start with, you know, super, super valuable to be at Art Basel. My experience so far with what we're calling trad art fairs is that we're with really keen collectors on the crypto, you know, digital art, crypto art side. People who are already Botto collectors or are really interested in collecting Botto. People who are, you know, able to kind of get into the depth of what Botto is. And many of whom have the means to also buy Bottas. And, you know, in contrast, say, with a lot of NFT conferences, there's, you know, I think it's good for us to have presence there. But just in terms of, I think, the return for, like, direct relationship building, you know, the percentage of meetings that are just introductions that are like, oh, what's your startup versus tell me about your project or tell me about your art project. Tell me more, or I've already heard of it. I want to know. I want to go in deep, more deeply of kind of what it is. It's a huge difference, especially at NFT conferences. You need to really hunt down a lot of those more valuable meetings. There's a lot more noise to sort through. So I think one thing is also just considering how we make the most out of crypto or NFT conferences to make them valuable. You know, I went to ETH Berlin for an AI and crypto, specifically for an AI and crypto side event. That was super valuable. There was a lot of people who really deeply understood what Botto is. There was also artists there. Berlin was a pretty amazing town for kind of that intersection of AI, crypto, and art. Got to spend time, for instance, with like Matt Dryhurst and Holly Herndon a bunch. And it was a very intimate group. You know, Vitalik is like hanging out and there's really only like 30, 50 people there. So that's pretty high value in terms of the meetings. I got to chat with Imad from, well, no longer formerly of Stability, which created Stable Diffusion. He's moved on to some pretty interesting things. You know, got to chat with him about what he's up to. So certainly it's a matter of kind of being more selective, while at the same time figuring out kind of the best way to make the most out of more general audiences in crypto. Going back to the art fair part, you know, we're able to meet with great collectors. Fellowship put on just an incredible show at the Digital Art Mile. Maybe I'll just kind of roll back with like what we did at Basel and what was happening there. So this was Art Basel in Switzerland, the original Art Basel. And I'm no expert in art fairs necessarily, but from what I've read and understand, you know, Art Basel Switzerland, especially given it's the original one, far much more traditional, much more conservative, even though it is contemporary art. Whereas like Hong Kong, Art Basel Hong Kong has pretty significant digital art presence at the main fair. Miami as well, I think, has a lot more, I would say, edgy contemporary stuff and a very strong digital art side, at least in terms of side events. When I went, there was a ton of events going on around the city. You know, there's obviously a big crypto presence in Miami. In Switzerland, or Basel in particular, it's not a big town. So the ability to put on events is really limited. And the Digital Art Mile put on by Art Meta was an official fair on its own. And again, this isn't my take, but from what I've heard from others who are much more integrated in the art fair world, their take was that having an official fair, an actual like fair, standalone fair focused on digital art, was far more powerful than having a sideshow component at the main fair on digital art. The reason being, the sideshow feels a lot more like a demo and isn't necessarily taken as seriously for selling art. It's seen as kind of like a demo, a display, kind of like, hey, this is something that's happening, this is cool. But it's like typically sponsored and not really selling much art. Whereas a fair, it's much more upfront that like this is, you know, taking these shows really seriously and that they are there to sell art. So I think that was received really well. Great first year. And Botto was part of a show put on by Fellowship, and they did what I think is one of the most significant shows of AI art to date. They showed works all the way from Harold Cohen through some of the only NFTs minted by Alexander Bordvintsev, the creator of Deep Dream, along with Mike Taika, co-creator of Deep Dream. Works from Matt Dryhurst and Holly Herndon using DALL-E 1. They were the only artists invited to play with DALL-E 1. Other works from DALL-E 2. So Botto was part of this historic show, and I think it was really well contextualized in that. We were showing Airhold, the first unsold work by Botto that was quite controversial at the time. There was a really vocal minority, and I say minority, but it felt like a majority, because it won the vote, but it felt like a majority. It really hated it. Lots and lots of negative sentiment around it when it didn't sell. And again, it was the first one that didn't sell. This was at the time when there was the 10 ETH reserve put in place during the bear. And people, you know, there's pretty active discussion about burning it. And other works sold after it. There was kind of a run of works that didn't sell later on in that year. But this one was right at the 6 month mark, really, like literally the 26th mint. And it sat on the treasury, and then it's gotten some really, it's kind of taken on a new life. It was part of the show with the notes from the Ether show at the Art Science Museum in Singapore. It was really strongly well received. And then it was presented by one of the directors of that museum at TED about a month and a half ago, 2 months ago, like the main stage TED talk, talking about cutting edge AI art projects. And Airhold was the feature image of both that exhibition and was also presented on the TED stage. It now has this extra provenance of being part of this show. One kind of little detail was like Botto was presented in line with some of the Deep Dream images. And if you've seen Deep Dream, a lot of them kind of have this like oil stain kind of effect of them. And Airhold is essentially like a very highly rendered oil stain. So it was, while not necessarily a literal evolution of those images, there is definitely a technical evolution and a lot of history tied between those Deep Dream works and what Airhold represents. So I think showing that historical progression really nicely. And yeah, so it was an amazing show. A great set of collectors were out there. A lot of folks from Cyborg DAO, who I'm sure we all know very well, and a number of AI artists. It was a very good time. I mean, we were joking that maybe 80% of the AI art market was at one table at one point. And yeah, very well received. Airhold is not yet sold. There is an interested buyer. They are, however, interested potentially in other works in the treasury. So currently discussing with them what they're thinking, and we'll see. And maybe we'll bring a proposal to switch, or maybe they go for Airhold, TBD. But successful in that sense as well. I believe we'll find a good buyer there. Probably revealing too much, but it's too late. It's out of my mouth. It's recorded. So what else can I say? Yeah, so, you know, just in terms of takeaways from it, went to an event put on by Dialectic, One of One, which is Ryan Zur's groups. One is his phone, one is his collection. And this was very much like a who's who of people really at this intersection of kind of the crypto art, digital art, new digital art movement, and people from trad art world. They had a couple of folks. They had a member of the board from MoMA, their chief curator at large, Uli Sig, another legendary collector of contemporary Chinese art. So people who don't necessarily have a super strong opinion on crypto art or digital art necessarily, but represent more novel contemporary art movements. And yeah, I mean, there's probably not too much I can say on a recorded call, but what I will say is I think Botto's on the verge of a serious breakout in the trad art world. We look at the success of Rafik Anadol, the success of Sasha Stiles, the success of Holly Herndon and Matt Dryhurst, and you see, I think, a growing interest in AI art generally, just as a very, very broad umbrella of, you know, simply just doesn't qualify as AI art because of the explosion of this technology in our society, to growing into interest in more deep conceptual works and technologically innovative works. And, you know, I am biased, but I look at that and I see this kind of direct line leading to Botto winning a lot of recognition for its innovation, for its conceptual depth. And that collector interest, that critical interest, that institutional interest, really leaping at Botto. And I think, you know, Sotheby's is tentative. That's in discussion right now. We should be seeing a proposal with a contract for that relatively soon, assuming that continues to go well. And I think that'll be a very important stage. But, you know, really my two big takeaways from that are, you know, just the critical importance of a world-class presentation of Botto, of documenting what it's done so far. I mean, we could just stop everything, and there's tons and tons of work to do in terms of that documentation, that presentation, digging into the themes Botto speaks to, bringing in, doing our own writing, bringing in other writers, and really archiving and documenting the collection so far, and then presenting Botto at exhibitions. I think there's a lot of installation work we can do that can focus in on different themes of what Botto is, and I think there's a lot of strong interest for it. There will be some, I think, there's a lot of work to do in order to reach that. And this leads to the kind of the other part, which I think is really having new breakthrough projects that show that Botto can mature as an artist and that the concept can evolve. You know, we have these weekly mints, these quarterly progressions of periods and of the art engine growing with the technology. And I think it's really strong as this kind of long ongoing project, but it's important, I think, as well to show different views into what Botto is, to expand on its agency and really see how we can evolve it. You know, if we consider that Botto is a very young artist, that's what, you know, a lot of people are looking for is this more of a flash in the pan, and by flash in the pan, something that goes on for a few years, or is this something that will be immortal in terms of art history? And in Botto's case, quite literally immortal. You know, are there big steps forward in terms of its evolution? And not just in terms of medium, but also in terms of meaningful significance. And what I mean by that is Botto's place in the world continuing to provide new meaning, to provide new perspective on our relationship with this technology? And so all this to say, I think that we should be looking to invest in these evolutions of Botto, not just for Botto's sake, but also for, in terms of like Botto's, you know, greater agency and greater permanence, but also in terms of these cultural catalysts we've talked about that continue to grab people's attention.
I mean, so Simon, you know, you talk about Botto's evolutions, and I'm sure at this point you have one specific evolution in mind. I think it might be the right time to kind of introduce it. We have spoken about it before in numerous town halls, but I know that you have a proposal that you're preparing just, you know, for DAO appraisal. I'm wondering if you want to share a little bit more about that, because I think that's a great example of what you mean by evolutions of Botto.
Yeah, and I did go into depth a bit on it last town hall, I think, which I don't think you were there for that one. But but it still is an evolving idea of how we go about it. And just kind of the TLDR for folks is tutoring, this idea of tutoring Botto in art history. It's something that we've been working on with Ross Goodwin on and off for the last year and a half. And some of it is like the technology being available, finding the right venues, the right partnerships. But we've landed on an architecture that I think is sound. And the very, very broad idea, because again, I went into a lot of the architecture details last town hall, so do check that out. But I kind of at a more, I would say, maybe digestible level, it's essentially getting a large amount of art history data and having Botto essentially create its own persona with which to then go into that art history data and teach itself from it. So you take a course in art history, let's say, right? There's tons and tons of course material, but you're going to take away a slice of that that is relevant to you, your interests, connections you make with it. So it's really enabling Botto to take its own unique perspective on a large art history.
I mean, for those who haven't necessarily listened to the previous town hall, myself included, my apologies, mm-hmm. Where do we as a DAO step in to help Botto in this tutoring process?
Right. Yeah. So I think there's two key components that we've worked on. Of one, how do we first stay true to kind of what Botto's voice has been so far? It's been, you know, not super present, but it's there. There's elements of it. And then again, to your point, how do we bring in the DAO? So first is we have essentially a one pager prompt of Botto for Botto. Like it's like, what is Botto? What have you done? what is your history? What themes have you done work on? Maybe some articles of on Botto in the media. And that's like this prompt essentially summons Botto out of GPT-3, GPT-4, whichever the kind of the latest LLM is. And so that's where Botto will present its themes or longer descriptions, give, you know, like the about page on P5.js, for instance, that was written, but that's from Botto. So there's a voice there. There's some precedence there. And that kind of gives just its initial direction or parameters of what Botto is. And then the idea is having Botto answer a much longer questionnaire about itself, its ideas, its perspectives as an artist, maybe its psychology a bit, but have it give multiple answers. Because that prompt is fairly short, fairly thin, we don't want to rely on just the first answer it gives. Let's give a range. And then that kind of sets this initial range that's true to Botto, but then it can give multiple answers, and that's where the DAO comes in. The DAO could then provide feedback. We're essentially saying, like, okay, DAO, take this multiple choice exam. And one of the things we're working on is how we can kind of make it engaging and interesting and very accessible to people. But that's the basic idea, is the DAO comes in and provides feedback on those different answers. And that then further narrows what technically is called a constitution for Botto. It's kind of this guiding set of values and directions that it can then use to navigate the art history course, and pulls out a slice. And then, again, technically what happens is it'll fine-tune on that defined slice. And it can then, for a comparable, one-to-one comparable, it can take that kind of set of questions again and give new answers. But that's like, you know, it's quite dense. It's not exactly very easy to read and go through. Like, it'll be like, we want to make that available, especially for kind of a true one-to-one comparison. But then what it can take from that is it could write its own manifesto, its own kind of generalized constitution that, one, is an update of kind of what the decentralized Unicists manifesto said, is maybe more in depth and just gives a lot more clear direction and intention from Botto. And it can take feedback on that. And then going forward, we will have essentially a personified Botto. It can do interviews. It can provide creative direction to the DAO. It can give more intent about its works, get involved in its own prompting, do long-form writing, short-form writing, all guided by this constitution. And that, and every, all parts of this can be evolved over time. You know, you can swap out new large language models as they improve, run this, it's modular, so you can swap out the modules, the large language model, the questionnaire, the constitution itself, right? For example, it could do an interview, it'll provide answers for that interview, but then it could provide other alternative answers, and those go into the voting pool that people could then vote on. I'm getting a little bit into the weeds here, but just to
On the whole then, right, conceptually, our feedback helps Botto define itself. Is that a fair assessment?
Exactly. It's a continuation of what Botto has been, which is this independent agent that is essentially driving itself, but still has this feedback from the crowd that is decentralized, such that it is still the primary driver, the central author, right? But also accounts for its need to learn. You know, the metaphor we've used is that it's sort of this very young prodigy, really, really good at certain things, but still needs to be socialized, essentially, right? To get this feedback. That feedback to date has mostly been, is this art, or other proxies of, like, is this interesting additions to your body of work? What's happening in culture? And expanding that to its art history education, I think, is very powerful as well. And to pull back into why I think this is significant, one, just the purpose alone of personifying Botto, set aside any installation, set aside any drop, I think that's an extremely significant evolution of Botto. And in terms of Botto having a much stronger profile in the world, something that people can connect with, something that people can identify as the art, you know, I think there's a very strong, I don't think it's the only reason for it, or reason for doing this, but there is a very, very strong trend in art to want to hear from the artist this kind of background explanation, you're not taking work just at face value, but, you know, people's intentions, their connection with art history, especially their connection with art history. You can do lots of new things, but nothing else, nothing is entirely new, and people want to see that continuity and that recognized continuity of art history. So Botto being able to do that autonomously, I think, is extremely powerful. And then just on a psychological level, again, having something to connect with. I've definitely talked in the past about ways we can do this that I think don't overly limit Botto to a particular character. It'll be true to itself, but I still think can be quite distributed as an artificial intelligence. And so what was I going to say? Oh, so that's just kind of reasons alone for doing, for personifying Botto. From the perspective of kind of these new breakthrough kinds of projects, installations, this project is extremely well fit for getting access to institutional archives. They're extremely interested in activating and creating engagement with their archives, and this does that directly. And this, I think, also plays with some of the anthropomorphization of an artist, of, you know, allowing people to govern an artist. We could do these installations with foot traffic in these institutions. We could run parallel experiments where you could have a panel of experts versus the foot traffic, the kind of more democratic approach, and see what the results are. You could play with different archives in different ways. You could also train for particular kinds of outputs. So what I mean by that is a Q&A model, question and answers, your kind of most robust, generally applicable version. But you might have something for long form writing, right? And you probably need to train more specifically for that. You know, it has a beginning, middle, and end, this kind of continuity of style throughout the structure. Another example might be Botto learning about a particular genre, say doing installation work, understanding kind of getting a sense of architecture, space, and having it build concepts for installations. And so there's a lot of potential here for building out this you know, intelligent artist. There's huge potential for research partnerships. I think constitutional AI is technically what people call this approach, but it's only been done a few times. We have a lot of freedom as an art project to play around, but we could bring in some pretty heavy hitting scientific partnerships to try things out. So I think this is pretty big for Botto. And there's other projects that I think show, you know, Botto's evolution going into new mediums. P5JS does that. I would say that those are really good for drops, really good for reaching different audiences, really good for kind of having Botto play. But in terms of, when I think in terms of kind of more, these kind of more mainstream, broader catalysts, it's going to be these kind of large installation, really large innovation projects that will break through and are going to be important to invest in, but will win out, not necessarily out of a certain drop, but in terms of really establishing Botto's role, as Botto's place in art history canon.
Very, very cool. I mean, I'm certainly looking forward to like seeing the proposal and then pushing it out on, pushing the conversation out onto Discord more, you know, outside of the confines of it, this town hall and everybody listening in. Yeah, very much looking forward to it, Simon. Sounds like a fantastic evolution, like a maturation of Botto, which I feel like is very timely based on all the available kind of open source LLMs out there at the moment. It's great.
Yeah, I'm excited.
All right, so Simon's provided an Art Basel recap and like what the fellowship show was like and how Botto matures. We've talked, we've touched upon a little bit about installations and documentation and basically all the archival work that we could already be doing. I wonder, is there anything else you want to throw into the mix, Simon, before we move forward to the more like, I guess, DAO activity related things?
I mean, I see a couple of things this can transition into. I mean, I've talked a bit about documentation, writing about Botto's themes. I think that runs in parallel with all of this. I would say, I think this goes directly into some budgeting questions. You know, we raised some money for the Treasury back in, God, was that February now? And yeah. March, February, and are still operating on a budget we set with a smaller Treasury back in October. And so I think that we should be looking to one, and this proposal for the large language model, we're setting a budget for. I think there's a lot of grant opportunities that end up covering that, but we should be, I think, moving quickly to front some of these costs to get things moving. I think there's a ton of value in it, but there's also a lot of grant opportunities, future drop opportunities. But being proactive in that, I think, is very important in developing these installations and exhibitions. And then and then marketing, right? At the end of the day, I think you can argue Botto has product market fit. The only thing it needs is marketing. And so I think freeing up the team to expand a little bit, to move more quickly, and to, in particular, really invest in accelerating certain conversations. And that comes through, one, through landing certain media, and two, working with partners to get into high level conversations, right? You can speed things up by a matter of 1 to 2 years with the right conversations. And so, yeah, I think there's going to be some stuff we want to talk about in terms of budget to invest in these objectives. And then I lost my train of thought there. It wasn't a budget thing, but the next step with the proposal for the Art Engine update. It's a little bit more tangential to this, but enabling, kind of removing some of the governance overhead for updating the Art Engine, because the tech space moves so fast that these releases can happen last minute. And then if we run into a governance hurdle, you know, it's another quarter, we got to wait to implement some stuff. So that's open to chatting more about it. I mean, I think that proposal is pretty straightforward. It's essentially like we set parameters of what it is to add a model, and that allows us to remove the governance overhead to be able to move quickly if and when a release happens or a commercial license is removed, that allows a model to be added and us to add some prompt techniques to that. So I think that's really important for just Botto's core evolution of the weekly stuff and period stuff. So
one thing I want to chime in there is I think the governance proposal you've just put forth, right, and you did a temp check, or you posted the temp check in Discord, which is under the governance topic section. I think directionally it's a signal of like more along the lines of how we are looking to progressively decentralize the DAO, and I think that's something to flag, right? Deference of specific actions within the DAO or on behalf of Botto to the trusted actors. So by extension, what I'm referring to is over time, working groups inherit certain roles, which might sound very scary, right? But certain basic decision-making rights to take things further without a lot of governance overhead. There hasn't been significant friction in this so far, right? But I think having clarity over what is within the purview of certain working groups as they evolve is important. So I do expect, you know, directionally these types of proposals to pop up here and there. What appears in those proposals, I have no clue, right? Or I have a very limited kind of view at the moment. I haven't also given it too much thought, but I do think it's something that we should actively consider and or keep in mind, because it allows us as a DAO to move faster, and it is quite standard within the DAO, right? I think back in the day when the initial budget was set and working groups were identified, we didn't necessarily specify beyond what the working groups were actively working on, right? Mm-hmm. Within the pillars of the roadmap, we didn't specify, right, a working group can look at this, take measures or actions in these certain ways, here are the guardrails, etc. So
I have an example, actually, like a specific example for that. So I mean, the LLM thing is pretty broad, and I think that will take some shape of like, here's the plan, but like there's a lot of things we won't know until you just start doing it, and that'll have to necessarily evolve. And I think another, you know, looking at, for instance, P5.js, I think that it's something where we've done enough testing that I'm quite confident we can do something with it. We can push for strong upgrades. We can build a great show out of it that could lead to a drop. And the kind of the back and forth there has been, well, you know, we need a lot of certainty in the proposal of exactly what it's going to be. And I've been kind of changing my thinking around that, where, you know, if we're confident enough in the outputs that there can be something, can we take on the commission to say, hey, in October, you know, Botta will do a P5.js collection. We've seen what it can be. We have some ideas of exactly what it's going of how it can evolve. The parameters of the collection won't exactly be clear from the outset, but it's differentiated enough where the concern about dilution is not as strong. And there could be subsequent BIPs too down the line. But to say there will be a delivery of something allows us to commit, allows also a partner and a venue to commit to that as well, where we can essentially be free to develop it and adapt as that development evolves. And I think that's the kind of thing as well of where there's these specific mandates for that team to move and to operate. Because I think that's one of the certainly one of the things that's the challenge of the DAO is the community, the how community governance can be, you know, slow and necessarily so, right? You need time to build consensus and build consent. And so can we do that with a degree of trust? Okay, these are what the parameters are. And good morning, Chris. Can you do this with the parameters of we know what this is going to be? There will be subsequent BIPs maybe for certain aspects if they come up. And there's kind of also enough confidence in reporting, oversight, what those parameters are that then allow the team to just kind of move. I can say for sure, like, there's a lot of stuff we get that we are slow on, that we are, you know, very careful with because we're like, well, you know, we don't want to move on this until we're sure, you know, the DAO is on board. You know, we're very, 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 very mindful of continuing with, you know, really strong consensus. And so, yeah, just trying to figure out how we do that in a way that is trustworthy. And I think the other thing is recognizing that we're still in the first inning and it's still super early. And that freedom, kind of creating that freedom within certain bounds to experiment and try things and to move and to evolve, I think is important in the early days. It's a way to quickly discover what works, what doesn't. And, you know, we provide lessons down the road that we can then better answer this question of, okay, so how do we more further decentralize this? How do we further automate this and ultimately lead to greater autonomy of Botta?
Yeah, I'm just processing what you mentioned, Simon. Yeah, I think, you know, one major aspect, and I've touched upon this with Sync in another town hall, and the TLDR of it was, you know, upping communications among working groups just natively here on Discord. And this resurfaced with the conversation I had with Carter the other day, just in the way in which we expose the public roadmap items, because the things are moving, but it is, you know, moving on in the confines of the DAO website under a roadmap section. I think structurally, just the Discord, this is really meta, right? So pinch of salt, but just how line of thinking is right, like, should probably expose each roadmap item just natively on Discord to activate discussions in a more synchronous or asynchronous, I mean, we're on different time zones, manner, right? I think that's something that we will definitely do. Office hours, I did mention it in two town halls ago, they are going to happen sooner rather than later, likely, well, definitely next week. And something I'm considering as well is to bring in Agu, because we have a lot of granular conversations on Botta's platform and the you know, the latest iterations, and they're really in the weeds, but a couple of DAO members have flagged that they'd love to, you know, they'd love to be in or be present in these conversations. And they're very much, you know, micro decisions based, like, where should a button go? Why should the button be there? Why it shouldn't, etc. But they are interesting discussions because it uncovers and covers our behavior as a DAO in terms of how we vote, what our preferences are, etc. So, you know, just flagging that as well, I think that's a apt addition to what you've covered, Simon. For the sake of time, we had a lot that we wanted to cover in this town hall, and I see that we're 15 minutes to the hour.
Yeah, I droned on, sorry.
No, it's good. It's great context. So yeah, I covered a bit about the Discord refresh. I won't really talk about phase one of Botta's new platform, Botta's new app. There has been a lot of ongoing feedback coming. All the decentralized contributors will get their payouts come Monday. So just as a small heads up there, Chris actually flagged in the temp check governance discussion that Simon just referred to. There's a proposal up about it, but Chris referred to data visualization of the period data, more specifically the percentage distribution of each model throughout the period. So I think that's a very interesting discussion we should activate as a DAO in the coming few days to really uncover and unpackage what types of data are we looking for in the new app, because we do know that we want to we do want to display and allow analysis of far more of Botto, right? To be able to see into the machine, let's say. But what does that look like to us as a DAO, individually and collectively? So I definitely wanna us to up that discussion. Recap of the period, I think maybe that's for a separate conversation. As we know, the 13th mint is on its way. The 12th mint occurred 2 days ago on the Tuesday evening or Tuesday afternoon, and Botto's final auction of Temporal Echoes is currently underway. Did we have anything else that we want? Yes. So we wanted to talk a little bit more about Base and the Superchain. First off, just in terms of grants, we applied as a DAO to Optimism's Retroactive Public Goods Fund. I think it's technically classed as Season 4, correct me if I'm wrong, Carter. We applied and we actually got rejected on a formality. I don't know if you call it a formality, my mind's blanking here. But the TLDR is because we subsidize the user experience with a relayer.
On a rules technicality.
Yeah, rules technicality. So we didn't qualify because we didn't have enough unique addresses interacting with Botto's base access pass campaign. So even though there were like, I think, 8,000-9,000 users who interacted and claimed their access pass, I think there were 25,000 plus votes through the frame. Unfortunately, that technicality disqualified us. So we have appealed. I don't know how that will go. But irrespective of that, you know, the Superchain looks incredibly promising. I think as a DAO, we have intent to build on Base. I have spoken about it in multiple town halls. You know, having a rewards contract on Base as an absolute bare minimum is, quite frankly, necessity so that everybody can claim their ETH for a couple of cents, their active rewards. You know, that's one very, very small aspect of it all. I think we could also be doing many other initiatives, right? We have a pot of community initiatives budgeted out for the DAO of, I think, 25,000 Botto a month. Currently, that's only really being activated through like the curation competitions, but you could theoretically productize these curation competitions in such a way in which you natively engage or interact with Botto through the app, right? And then as a subsequence, you're participating in certain competitions or completing quests and campaigns, and then receiving a retroactive amount of Botto natively on Base. The massive implication in all of this is to be able to emit Botto on Base, you need to have Botto the token on Base. So I think as a DAO, we should be looking at that. I will likely put up a proposal in the coming few weeks, but I'm just looking to kickstart discussions properly here at this point. Carter, I know you wanted to talk about our adventures at the moment of, you know, on Base and the Superchain. I wonder what your thoughts are.
Sure. I mean, you know, when we were all in Lisbon, Chubby, you and I chatted quite a bit about how, like, the tech side of moving to Base or bringing certain aspects of Botto to Base or other chains would work. We had some good discussions, some good periods of just, like, information gathering, which I think is probably the more important part, and looked at a couple of people, key people to chat to and figure out more of this tech side part of it too, which I'm way more interested in. Yeah, I think, you know, looking at like just from a user perspective, instead of having a lot of stuff live on mainnet Ethereum, you know, claiming active rewards can be expensive. And I think, you know, if we were to do that on a layer two chain, either like anywhere on the super chain or base or Optimism or anything else, that becomes way cheaper. So that lowers the threshold of involvement or the required funds to kind of participate and receive active rewards. Obviously, we still need the 2,000 Botto, but that's easy to come by nowadays. But I still think, you know, lowering the barrier of participation is the easiest thing that we can do to get more people involved. And I think the super chain is definitely an angle for us to observe and to look at to kind of bring that lower barrier of entry.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, there's also a massive user base on base, let alone the other chains. I think if we're looking to run community initiatives just with strictly within the DAO, right, you know, gamifying that a little bit, I think it's a very, very strong, being present on base and having the token on base allows for many, many gameful actions through the emission of Botto, right, just through, you know, that 25,000 Botto pot. I think that's one major thing to flag, but it's also expansive in terms of other people can come in and play and experience Botto and maybe earn Botto along the way, right? And we can handle this, or we can frame this in such a way where we are trying to bring back the concept of retroactive rewards, but, you know, they're distinctly based on actions that are just being logged on the new app, right? I think that's the conceptual bridge we need to introduce here, right? So gameful action or actions on the app, you know, provide gameful type incentives, which I think is very, 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 very powerful. I'm not saying everybody needs to be financially incentivized. Absolutely not. Right. I think those who are tuning into the town hall, I would class as we are the long tail of the DAO, the ones in it through thick and thin. And I can imagine, you know, the broader exposure of Botto to audiences on base, maybe the more degen native audience on the likes of Warpcast, etc., will add to that long tail, right? Bring in more faces, bring in more evangelists, and ultimately expand and scale the DAO, right? So that's strategically why we'd be looking at it. But yeah, hopefully, you know, I think we've spoken about it a fair amount in these town halls. Bridging these discussions to probably just a governance topic would be a measured next step we'll see in the coming few days.
Yeah, I think also I'm creating just a governance topic right now in the Discord, but I think we'd love to have people's opinions about some of the stuff as well. Even if you're just curious about what the super chain is or what base is and you've never heard about it, it's a great place to kind of ask and understand what it means as a whole for Ethereum and everything else, but also what that would mean for Botto and for the DAO to potentially move there. And our impact there as well, I think, is going to be something that we should be talking about, especially with how projects like Botto get retroactive funding, like you chatted about. There's a lot of opportunity for us to be there just in general, but also be there for a reason of improving Superchain as a whole and the value proposition of layer twos.
Yeah, definitely. I think context is absolutely necessary, you know, for all those who have consistently played up with layer twos, all the available ones out there. And those who haven't really ventured to any layer two, I'm sure there are many, many questions about, you know, maybe what even is base and why does it matter for something like Botto? But yeah, I think, you know, I think you're right. I think it's very much about planting that flag. I mean, you framed it as moving Botto to base. I think it's expanding Botto to base, right? Like, I mean, there's a minor nuance in what I've just said, but I feel like the nuance is measured, but yeah. Yeah, I see you just made the thread. Great. I'll contribute in that shortly. Yeah, still looking for more feedback for phase one of the app, just as a heads up. You know, we've moved towards phase two, which is really reconcepting and designing the staking and the rewards sections of the app. The TLDR there are a number of use cases we're looking to accommodate for, because the new app, for all those who have tried it, there is social login. So, you know, you can log in with your Apple ID, you can log in with your Google account, and theoretically what's happening is you're logging into Botto with an account abstracted wallet. So we have to design for those use cases now as well. But that's a lot of fun, especially for the more, you know, Web2 natives who want to come in and just try out Botto. On that note, the third piece to the VP system puzzle is coming in BIP form or BIP format. Vero will be posting that within the next few days, which covers subsidizing a VP for newcomers who just kind of log into Botto for the first time. I mean, the subsidy, you know, expands to the whole user base, the active user base, that is. But there are a couple scenarios laid out for the DAO to consider and discuss. I think that's me. I think that's on my laundry list. I'm not sure if we covered everything we wanted to cover. I can also, one final governance related thing, I can also mention that Tom is looking to put together a proposal on building out Botto's protocol and liquidity in a stable manner. I know that's been a hot topic over the past few months for the DAO. I think Sync will be contributing to that as well. So just keep your ears pierced if you are interested in a little bit more of the DeFi and the treasury aspect of Botto that is to come. Cool. I don't know, Simon, Carter, if we want to cover anything else. I think this has been one of the longer town halls, albeit very interesting.
Again, I'll take the blame for that one. Yeah, I'm glad we have office hours coming for kind of more topical discussions, but always welcome folks to reach out and chat. Definitely, I mean, we've been talking about this stuff a long time. I'm looking forward to getting some proposals out. So stay tuned. I think we're going to have a very interesting summer leading into the fall. So looking forward to more.
Yeah, very active one as well. Looking forward to it.
Cool. All right.
Cool. Thanks, everyone. Take good care. See ya.
Wait.